Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. So bet $100 and get $100 at winbet.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the DGEN Dance. Our March Madness Bankroll Contest is back. Free to enter and $1,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Plus, we've got first half under bingo. Enter both contests on the SGPN app. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. As always,
it's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oak Lawn, and I'm wearing aggressively turquoise boxer briefs because I like to feel like I've got a sexy secret intermittently through the day. It is Bankroll Builder Wednesday. And to join me, I got someone that a lot of you may know because, I mean, you can't turn on YouTube without seeing this man, it seems like.
And what the fuck are you doing on TV anyhow? You know, I get calls from back home every fucking day. They think you went batshit.
Ladies and gentlemen, he failed to menace, but he succeeded to steal our hearts. Mr. Matthew DeSantis, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Chase? I absolutely love that new drop. That is fantastic. What I'll say is I didn't ask for your permission to come out here. All right.
Very well done. You know, I had an ex-girlfriend whose goal in life was to be Sharon Stone in Casino, but like the first half of Casino. Before it got real dark
for everybody's sake. That was, yeah.
I think she just wanted to own furs. I think she could have just said it that way instead.
Sharon Stone is a smoke show in the first half of that movie. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Oh, for sure. Like that sequence was lucky to be wearing her. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that you're here. You seem in the loop, like globally, geopolitically. And I'm sure we've all heard the news that came out in just the last few minutes and seen the footage from the American drone of the two, you know, Russian fighter jets. And I mean, I was not surprised in the slightest whenever they zoomed in at the pilots' faces and the two fighter pilots turned out to be Irad and Jorge Ortiz.
Hit me two times.
They're dropping bombs on people, man.
We'll see. It fits. It fits. Okay, you have just a tired drone struggling to hold on to its lead while these two super jets come zooming up behind it. You know, they're talking telepathically for all you know because you can't hear it. And then, you know, they just kind of herded it into the sea.
You know, honestly, it's an analogy for every single day at Gulfstream Park, it feels like.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, we've seen this play out over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it's Paco Lopez is that drone and just trying, but never gets it. Yeah, just so, sorry.
Main takeaway here should be Ortiz Brothers, the Notorious OTV, will see you in Guantanamo. We will see you in Guantanamo someday.
Matthew's rocking his Furman Paladin shirt. Proud Furman proud Purple Paladin, this man. You excited for March Madness?
Very excited. For the first time in 43 years, my alma mater, Furman University, has made the NCAA tournament. Yep. It never happened during my lifetime, which gives you some instance of how old I am. I was born 4 months after they made it to the NCAA tournament in 1980. And they have not won much since then. But we've had a really nice program the last 7 to 10 years. But we've just, we come from the Southern Conference. So it's a single bid league. And, you know, if you don't win the conference tournament, you're not going to get there. So
yeah,
we've just fallen short in the big tournaments. But we were able to close the deal this year. Two really good fifth year seniors, Jason Slauson and Mike Bothwell. I'm looking for an upset of Virginia in the first round. Two very hoity-toity schools going right at each other. So I like it.
Yeah, pretty much. There are statues of presidents at one of those places, I know.
we have statues of my dad. You know, that's about where we're at. So
he is the Furman Paladin, in fact, it turns out. Yeah, man, I have to figure you're a pretty big bracket person, right? I mean, you love drafts. You love drafting things. I feel like this is, what is this if not just like battles to, like 64 battles to the death, you know?
I do. I love brackets. I don't follow college basketball as much as I probably should. And I just kind of pick up little things here and there. I tend to just trust certain programs this time of year more than anything else, certain coaches. I tend to look for like what schools have a lot of fifth year seniors or like older teams that just, you know how to play basketball, who's got the best point guard. Like those are things I usually just go to as like a cheat code a little bit. But yeah, love filling out brackets, always a lot of fun. And then I just do, you know, one for fun where I'm like, which mascot would beat up another mascot in these sorts of situations.
Nice. Very nice. I guess last time I saw you, we talked to the Azeri Stakes, which was this past weekend at Oaklawn. We had the return of Secret Oath as a 4-year-old. What'd you think of the filly on the fly?
Super impressive. You know, she looked, I talked about this on the Win Play show, and you know, we talked about it when we discussed our stakes preview, but she looked fresh. You know, that burst was back. And she just needed some time off, and she finally got it, and she kind of looked like her old self, and she certainly likes Oaklawn Park, that's for dang sure. So I was really impressed. I think it's going to set up for a great showdown between her and Nest, and Clarier as well. I mean, Clarier just, I wasn't the biggest fan of that ride that Joelle gave her. I mean, just because Secret Oath got the jump on her, and if anybody gets the jump on Clarier, she's not going to win, because she grinds, and she needs to be the one to start moving first, not the other horse that has a better turn of foot. So you know, it was one of those. But I mean, the big three showed up, right? I mean, it was Secret Oath first, Clarier second, Interstate J Dream third, and those were the big three on the morning line.
Yeah. And you know, Hot and Sultry did exactly what we did not want her to do or anticipate her doing, which was said, fuck all those tactics I just learned.
Exactly. I'm going.
Let me just fuck up Chase's long shot, you know, all up one side and down the other. Like, it was awful. It was, I mean, lovely ride to that horse's credit. She does what she always does, which is she goes out to the front, she runs her fucking eyeballs out. It's just too much pace.
Yeah, I mean, she finished fourth. I mean, so she held her own you know, there at the end, but it was still not the best ride.
All right. Well, it is Wednesday. That means it is Bankroll Builder Wednesday. Hey, if you listened to Bankroll Builder last week with me and Barry Spears, we turned your $100 into $350.
Hey.
You're welcome. No big deal. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So we're going to take a quick break here at the Notorious OTB. When we get back, me and Matthew are going to jump into Bankroll Builder Wednesday. We're going to show you our best plays for a $100 budget. We'll be right back.
That's right. Two for both nuts. That's right.
WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. And be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. There's so many ways to bet big on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer, bet $100 and get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our degens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit.
There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The DJ Dance, our March Madness Bankroll Contest is back. It's free to enter. And $1,000 in cash prizes are up for grabs. Plus, we've got First Half Unders Bingo, where you can win a SGPN gift card. Enter both contests on the SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade.
It's Wednesday. It's Bankroll Builder Wednesday. I've got Matthew DeSantis with me. We're going to be looking at this Friday's Oaklawn Park card. First post is going to be 1:35 Eastern, 12:35 God's time. And that's this, St. Patrick's Day, right? Friday, March 17th, year of our Lord, 2023. $100 budget, any race, any wager type. It's the strategy of how we attack a card, what plays we play. Matthew, what did you have an overarching strategy for this entire card? Was there a specific thing that you were looking for or how you wanted to time out your races?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think for me, when I looked at this card, there were some tricky sequences. And so I wasn't necessarily sure that I wanted to play a lot of sequences. There were some races where there were like two or three heavy favorites in a race that were probably going to be really short money, but I didn't feel confident enough to single anybody. And so it was like, I don't want to spread with like a 9-5 and a 6-5 and a 5-2. Like that's no good. And so I ended up just playing a lot of just straight, you could say like vertical or just spot plays, you know, throughout the card. And mm-hmm. I played one daily double, I think, but really I just kind of tried to focus on each individual race and trying to put together a nice bet for each individual race.
You know, I've noticed all the people that I bring on, it seems like you clearly break into two groups, and it's the people who want to make two just like very strong, high base, you know, base wager kind of plays, or the people who kind of want to try to grind it out through the course of the day. Like, I mean, for the impatient person, like myself, doing what I do, which is try to play like the heavier base wager plays that start in like race five and race six, hard as hell to do. I recommend Matthew's way because you got a little bit of action all during the day. You weight your opinions, of course, but you know, I that's why that might have sounded not like a compliment, but it was a compliment.
Yeah, you know, I like Clarier, I'm a bit of a grinder, and so I just like to kind of grind away each individual race. I am a naturally very conservative better as well, so I don't like to put all my eggs essentially in one basket. I like to spread out. If you ever see me at the roulette table in Vegas, I'm not the guy who comes up and puts, you know, $100 on red or $100 on black. You know, I play the corners, I play the angles, I spread. I just try to kind of stay afloat, build up the bankroll slowly but surely. But, you know, turn $100 into $150, turn $150 into $250, turn, you know, $250 into $350 at some point. You know, it's just slowly build it up. But that's my mentality. There's a lot of people who are far more aggressive with their gambling. That probably pays off for them in some ways, but it just doesn't fit who I am and how I enjoy myself at the track. Because if I, you know, all of a sudden got super aggressive and was like, I'm going to put, you know, these tickets together and I'm just going to start, you know, putting down a pick four right after a pick three, after a pick five, you know, all this other stuff, I would be stressed out. Like I would not be having a good time and I would not be having fun at the track. And when I go to the track, I go to have fun. And I like having fun by doing $10 win bets and, you know, things like that.
Right.
It's a different mentality. That's all.
All right, well, let's go ahead. Let's jump into this card. For me, my strategy, I decided to focus on the back half of the card.
I don't blame you. That makes a lot of sense.
There's rain that's supposed to be moving through tonight, Wednesday, so you might have a track that's drying out still a little bit. I'm sorry, it's going to be moving through tomorrow during the races, towards the latter half, and should be drying out for Friday's card. So I tried to stick with the idea that it's going to be drying out towards the back half, and what I have come to count on is that it kind of turns into a conveyor belt at that point, and early speed can really kind of cruise. So I found a couple spots where I have horses that just look much the best on the front end, and I'm trying to run some daily doubles through them in the late half. But for Matthew, who undoubtedly enjoyed the variety cereal pack as a child, let's start picking through this card. Race one.
Yeah.
$20,000 claimer, 6 furlongs. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, so for this one, there's kind of three horses that stick out. The number one horse, Tis Hot and Dusty, which I'm going to try to play against. Inside rail, blinkers going on. You know, Ricardo's on the mount. You might think, well, let's play that. Ricardo, when he's aggressive, is great. Here's the thing, though. That's a horse that was just claimed from Diodoro's barn for Brad Cox. I really don't like playing horses coming out of Diodoro's barn traditionally to another barn. Only, I think, about a 12 or 13% win rate over the last 5 years. So I'm going to kind of fade the one. And then it comes down to really the 4 and the 5, I think. And I'm willing to kind of bet against the 5, interestingly enough, even though that's got Diodoro's top rider, Christian Torres. I'm going to end up playing the 4. I'm just going to do a $10 win bet on the number 4, Alvaro, at 3-1 on the morning line. I have a feeling that is going to go up from there. I think you're going to get good value on this horse. This horse beat the number 5, is stablemate Black Storm, last time out. This horse, I just think, is more of a sprinter. And this horse at this point in his career is more of a sprinter. And the last few times out, last time out at a mile, you know, that was a high level allowance race. You're seeing a pretty significant class drop down. And I'm willing to take a shot here, beating maybe the main Diodoro with the secondary Diodoro. The other horses have always been doing well lately, for Chad Brown, for Steve Asmussen, for Todd Pletcher. Why not for Robertino? So that's my play in race one.
So last time I was at Oaklawn, Caleb Knight was there with me, and I got to go with my friend Tim Stedman, Titan of Litigation, who works for John Holloman, who owns Alvaro. So we got to go down to the paddock for them to saddle Alvaro. Mm-hmm. He never showed. He never walked into the paddock. He was such a head case that they had to saddle him on the track. So it was just us just standing around in a paddock stall with Robertino Diodoro for like 10-15 minutes. All right. That was all my input for race. Well, let's move
love it
to 6 furlongs. This is a $20,000 Arkansas bred maiden claiming race for the fillies. Me and Larry Colmus agree, if you ever want to make millions of dollars, breed a world-class Arkansas bred horse. What did you think of the Arky breds? And choose your slurs carefully. You're talking to an Arky bred.
I'm a big fan of the Arky breds. I actually just got off a text conversation with the wife of a trainer at Oaklawn Park, and we were talking about this exact same thing, about how great the Arky bred races are. So I am all in on that. Even when I'm off camera, I am supporting the Arky breds. So this race, I need people to not turn off, because I'm going to advocate using a show bet. And I need everybody just to stay with me for like 2 seconds while I explain this. There is a long shot in this race. The number 2, Lori's Eyes. If I get bold, I may use $10 to win on this horse. But I'm definitely putting $10 on this horse in some capacity, whether that is to win, to place, or to show. And I'll explain why. This horse has, I think, really fascinating running lines. If you just draw a line through every time this horse is on a sealed track, and you draw the line through when this horse essentially is in the last race that sends her to the bench, she's got form. Like, there's some decent races in there in comparison to what the rest of this field looks like. And it's not all that long ago. Like, you look at some of those races from this time last year. I mean, she posts a 48 buyer speed figure, which she's done before. She wins this race. And I just think, you know, she can flash some speed, to your point, get the conveyor belt out a little bit. If she can get out there on the lead or close to it, I think she's got a real chance. And this is one where I think some of this is going to depend on what the line looks like, maybe as, you know, once the windows open and as things progress. But I definitely want to use that 2 horse in some capacity. I'm going to be, like I said, I'm going to be putting a $10 bet down on her one way or the other the level of that bet is going to vary depending on what her line is. If it gets, if she gets bet down, then I'll go to win. If she starts floating up to like 40 to one, then maybe I'll just stick to a place show bet or something like that. But I like her very much.
Let's talk show bets. Let's talk show bets real quick. You're the first person to be so bold as to show bet on Bankroll Builder Wednesday, for the record. And I want to come out unequivocally on the subject and be on the record and let everyone know where I stand with show bets. Show bets can be smart fucking bets sometimes, people. Smart fucking bets. Mm-hmm. Here's the question you have to ask yourself before a show bet. Who are the horses that are going to be taking a huge chunk of the show pool that you are willing to bet don't hit the board? Because if one of them doesn't hit the board, you can get paid really well for a long shot horse just to finish, you know, just to finish third. You know, you just have to be aware of what market you're investing it in, where it's going, and where you think, you know, what's going to happen to where you think the money is going. That's it. That's my diatribe on show bets.
Absolutely. No, I there's a time and a place. And I know there are some people who would say absolutely not. There's never a time and never a place. And I understand that logic and I understand that argument and I respect it. But it goes back to the type of better. I'm just more conservative by nature. And when I look at a PP, I can't talk myself into Lori's Eyes in this case winning the race necessarily.
Sure.
But I can,
no one beats Lori's Eyes 14 times in a row and gets away with it, Matthew.
Exactly. But I can talk myself into her hitting the board. And if I think she's going to hit the board, then why am I going to bet her to win if I don't think she's good enough to win? And it just gets into this, do you want a, you know, winning ticket versus a mathematically sound ticket? That's been a big topic of conversation on horse racing Twitter recently. But I will say, like, you know, you talk about Bankroll Builder Wednesday. There's a contest right now. I don't know if you're in it as well, with the Tour de Force, with like all of the, you know, we basically have like a fictional $100 bank account in every one of these Kentucky Derby prep races. And we decide what to do. Well, a couple of weeks ago at the Wood Memorial, I had no idea what I want, or at the Gotham, I should say, I had no idea what I wanted to do in that race. I put $100 down on Slip Mahoney to place. Fan-frickin-tastic, because that came through and I turned $100 into like $570. Great. You know, there's a way to bail the bankroll with these types of bets if you're smart about it.
I'm not in that tournament. I'm actually in a month-long battle to the death with my self-esteem. That's mine. That's my March Madness,
well,
ladies and gentlemen.
I hope you went out.
It's not looking good. It is not looking good. All right, and on that depressing note, we're going to take a quick break here at the Notorious OTB. When we get back, we're going to talk about the rest of this Oaklawn Park Friday card on our Bankroll Builder Wednesday show. Oh, the BBW show. Fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? We'll be right back. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get down on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Welcome back to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by...
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
By the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Come on. looking at the Friday Oaklawn card, Matthew took the shotgun approach. So we're digging through these races. We're going to go with race three here. It's mile race, another Arky bred. It is a $55,000 allowance race. Another one for the fillies. He likes the Arkansas bred ladies. all right, man, take it away.
Yeah, so this one is where I'm going to play a daily double with race four. So I am actually just going to single a horse here. I'm going to single the favorite of the five, Too Pretty, at 6-5 on the morning line. This horse just has the speed and it should be the lone speed. If the six decides to go, which maybe he's got better speed, maybe not. But if the six decides to go, what gives me confidence is that the five has rated before and won. And so I'm just going to use the five in this one and move on and try to catch a price in race four.
All right. I mean, that's kind of how I ended up structuring my bets, was I found like two horses I felt were, or three horses I felt were like just world beaters and that I could fit confidently put into a daily double. So let's see how you're wrapping it up. Let's go to race four, 8.5 furlongs, $103,000, non-winners of two lifetime allowance, going mile and a 16th. What do you think?
Yeah, so it ends up being a $12 daily double with the five, and then I'm going to use the 3, 4, 6, 7 in race four. And I'm really hoping we catch the three or the four there in the next one. So the three is a Dwayne Lucas horse who really popped last time out, took a big jump on speed figures. Maybe that's real, maybe it's not. But a 12-1 on the morning line, I'm willing to include this horse to try to find out. At 10 gauge, the number four horse, I think is just really consistent, very solid, shows some improvement, can handle different types of tracks depending on condition, has been running in these, you know, really high level allowance races for a while. And so I just have some confidence at 9-2 in the morning line. Plus, it's a gun runner. And when all else fails, bet gun runner. And then the reason I include the six and the seven is really more so for class, because both of these horses are coming off a layoff, but they're doing it for trainers who are really good off a layoff. And that's what kind of you go, do I want to include King Ottoman at 6-5 for Steve Asmussen? Well, he's clearly got the best class in the race. I mean, this is a horse that's been running great at stakes competition the last three times out and hit the board in two of them. And so, yes, he's coming off a long layoff, but you know, how do you leave him off a ticket necessarily in this spot? And then the seven, Call Cab at 2-1 for Brad Cox. This horse runs back to his maiden two back ago. He's going to win easily, and he's not coming off that long of a layoff. So, like I said, spread a little bit more here in race four, but that's going to be the way I play the third and fourth race together.
What do you think of the one CJ Storm here? 30-1. This mm-hmm. should be the absolute lone speed. It's got a jockey I've never heard of. It was only run one race at Oaklawn. It's got, you know, it's racing carrying 110 pounds, like a big, huge break on a speedball on the front end, who could maybe be the lone early speed. Or do you think it's more of like a, just like a, I call them hood ornament horses, where they're out there in front, like the winged lady of a Rolls Royce, just looking pretty, you know, going fast, but they have no substance. They don't really do anything.
That's kind of where I landed. I wanted to like this horse more because this horse did wire the field in its maiden, but that was also a state-restricted Indiana race, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, maiden special weight 38, and last time out an optional claimer 80, did exactly what you just described. Flashed that early speed and then dropped anchor and said, see you later back at the barn, and finished well back. I just have a feeling that's probably what's going to happen again.
All right. Well, let's hit race number five. That's where I actually get into the action.
Get in here on it.
So let's go 8.5 furlongs, a $7,500 non-winners of two lifetime claiming event. Only the classy races for you motherfuckers. There's only one speed in this race that I'm interested in playing, and that's the favorite. It's the 2 Pittsburgh, 6-5. Peter Miller trainee that's facing winners for the second time in its career. And then it's a first-time gelding, and it's adding blinks. What am I for maidens that are just they're throwing the kitchen sink at?
Little pig boy.
Can I get the definition?
Little pig boy. He's that pathetic, dirty bitch baby mistress gets to stand on.
And since it's the only horse I can say should send for the front end and make it and hold the lead, with the odds, it seems like the logical play here is to just start it as a single in the double.
Yes, I'm singing. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we see this race exactly the same. Because I used Pittsburgh in its own way. I didn't do this one in a double. I just did an exacta key with this one. So I keyed the two up top, and then I included the 147 underneath, trying to catch a little bit of a price underneath. I'm really interested in this four, actually, and Coselio. This was actually the person I was talking to that I alluded to earlier. So Ike Green's wife was a former student of mine, actually. And so I was texting with her and said, hey, I'm looking over the PPs, kind of like this horse. And she said, yeah, she goes, it took Ike a while to get this horse straightened out after the claim. Feels like this horse is training lights out now and finally has figured everything out. She said, it finally feels like this horse is putting things together.
I actually hit that horse $20 to win first race on the card at Oaklawn a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Lovely. I love that. And so this is a horse that is ascending, and I'm just hoping to catch something maybe underneath there because I do think Pittsburgh is clearly the best. But like I said, going to try to capture a couple prices underneath there.
The only reason I considered to going back to the well with Coselio after you know, hitting it in his main breaker last time. And the only reason I didn't was because the horse was facing winners for the first time, and Caleb Knight would slap me if I played against that angle. That's his thing. That's what he does. He doesn't play those horses.
Usually don't either, but I'm not as aggressive. I'm not going to slap you. Caleb, so I can't speak to his anger management issues.
God, I'd let him. He could brutalize me. He's so pretty. The two, yeah, like I would let him just go full like Army Hammer. He could just devour me like a cannibal. All right. I really hope he doesn't listen to this now.
I'm sending this to him.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I'll send it first. You know, that's how you manage PR, Matthew.
It is.
All right. So I was a single with the two Pittsburgh here, my daily double. Let's move on to race six. I'll tell you how I'm closing it out. It's a 6 furlong, $30,000 claiming. And if I think it turns into a conveyor belt late, then I have a stone cold single to wrap up the ice cold double. That's right. It's a single. It's going to be the one, Best of Greeley, 7-2. Stakes placed, gets entered at the same claiming price as opposed to the Diodoro, you know, stop, drop, and pop. So ran at $30,000 last out, got claimed, running back at $30,000 as opposed to the claim, drop in class, make your money from the purse and the claim sort of tactic, which kind of tells me a little something, you know, that it goes against what his typical play is. So it's more of a, why are you here sort of thing. And I think this will be the speed of the speed and should make a pretty easy lead from the rail.
I see this one the same way, which is why I'm playing the 1-3 exacta, $10 1-3 exacta. And I think those two are the only speed in this race. And I think they're going to go out. And I agree with you that the one's going to be the speed of the speed. But I think it's a conveyor belt and they just finish 1-2 and they start off 1-2. So I saw this one much the same way. I didn't see much else coming behind the two of them. And that's why I'll just play a $10 exacta 1-3 on this one.
All right, so you're flying solo again from race 7 because I don't dip my toe in it again until race 8. Let's talk race 7. 8.5 furlongs, $90,000 maiden special weight. They can come from anywhere. Anywhere in these great United States. They do not have to be only born in the great state of Arkansas. What did you think of these horses not lucky enough to be born in the great state of Arkansas?
Well, minus that last qualification, I thought it was pretty darn good field, actually, and pretty impressive. But I'm going to take a shot, and I'm not going to be a coward with my show bet. I'm going to do $10 to win on the one, the exponential star, 12-1 on the morning line. I really like this horse. This horse came out of a banger of a first-time maiden race. All three finishers who finished first, second, and third won next time out. Here's the more impressive thing. You go through and look the fourth place horse, the fifth place horse, the sixth place horse, the seventh place horse. They all came back and ran exponentially better the next time they went out. So like the fifth place horse came out and ran second next time. The sixth place horse came out and ran second the next time. I mean, they all stepped up and they showed the buyer speed figures they earned in that first race were very legitimate and stepped up from there and took a progression. I really like this horse. He's on the inside rail again. He was on the inside rail in debut as well, but now it's a
two-turn race. This horse should like the distance. The dam produces 29% dirt route winners. I'm going to take my shot with the one here. Big win bet on that one.
This was such a wide open race. You're right. This is an excellent, maiden special weight race. And the only horse I could toss was the Aspison horse that he put his kid up on. Cause you know, yeah, that one's not live. I don't know what Keith did, but Keith, I don't know if this is like paying your dues for your dad or what, but his dad gives him some bullshit horses to ride.
You gotta give, you gotta learn, and it's better to learn on a horse that probably isn't going to have a chance to win than screwing up horses that might very well.
It's a tale as old as time. We've all seen Risky Business.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to see Keith drive the Porsche into the lake, because you know what? There is a lake in the infield now at Oaklawn.
We don't need that.
We don't need that. All right, let's move on. Let's hit race eight. This is where my second and last play kicks off. It's going to be 8 furlong, 62.5 optional claimer. And this seems like another good place to take the chalk to crack off a daily double. Because it's time for number two, Butterbean. I'm calling him the knockout machine at 9-5 due to my favorite, probably the best boxer of all time, Butterbean. Some of you might have known him as Butterbean. First off the shelf, since the CCAA Oaks of Saratoga, and this looks like a tune-up, honestly, and that this horse should probably win this race for fun on its way to bigger things. That's kind of what I think and how I saw it. And I've been playing the early speed a lot, but I think that the pace is unsustainable. And I always love off-pace horses that will make the middle move in the short stretch mile. People say, you have to be on the lead. Well, what do? They go for the horses that are on the lead at the gate. No, you need to be on the lead at the turn. So I'm looking for a horse to make the middle move like Butterbean, the knockout machine, at 9-5.
So we disagree here, because I'm going to fade Butterbean big time. And
that's how you get knocked out. That's how a lot of people got knocked out in the 80s and 90s.
That is true about that. But I usually have a lot of success when I fade Ken McPeak. So I don't have a ton of confidence with him coming off a long layoff. You're right. This is a huge class drop. Absolutely. Butterbean is clearly going to go on to bigger and better things this year, other than this race. I just don't know if I'm willing to use this horse in this race. Therefore, I went to the 5, Traverse, who should sit right behind that early speed, who should sit kind of right behind the 3 and the 4, both going to flash a lot of speed up front early. 5 should sit behind that. So I'm going to do a $10 win bet on the 5 and then a $10 exacta 5-6. And I kind of like this 6 to potentially come running a little bit late in a small field. I hear you about the conveyor belt thing. In a small field, though, it's only a 6-horse field. This horse is not going to be that far back. And so so that's something I do tend to try to keep in mind when I play horses that are closers, is like looking at field size, because there's a huge difference between being a closer in a 12-horse field as opposed to a 6-horse field.
Yeah, I mean, you're naturally going to have traffic trouble. You're naturally not going to be able to choose your own path because you're just limited in what you can do.
And you're going to be further back, too. You're going to get strung out a lot more. So you're going to have 10 lengths to make up instead of 5 lengths potentially to make up. And so I typically like using kind of these deep closers who may have had some trouble in previous races when the field sizes shrink up. So I'll use the 5-6 exact in this one, but interested to see who gets knocked out in this particular race between the two of us.
The one not named Butterbean. We'll see. Friendly little challenge there. We'll see how it goes. All right. So last race, 6 furlongs, $50,000. Non-winners of something. Non-winners of 2 somethings, actually. It's an optional claimer, $50,000. All right. I closed out my $25 daily double. It started with Butterbean, the knockout machine, with 2 horses, 1 chalky and 1 a price. I'll start with the chalky, and I'll do the big reveal for the price. The 3, Life is Hard, 3-1. Should be pretty live speed down at the rail. Has shown some versatility and could rate at the rail behind a good amount of early speed. There is speed here. I looked at those horses that were right behind that first wave, like right just sitting right off of it. Second off the layoff, and it won its second career start. So I'm saying that's second off the layoff history. Because if you think about it, it was laid off for its entire life. It won a race off of a 3-year layoff. That's amazing.
It is when you think about it that way.
Unfuckwithable logic, Matthew. The next one is going to be the four, and I don't know, just catch the fever of the bean theme. The four, Mrs. Bean's 10-1 Arky Bread that drops out of Arky Bread Steaks ranks, where it had no chance against Garhole. Garhole might be a star in unrestricted class. It's just Shortleaf is just taking all of the money that they're giving them by running an Arky Bread like Garhole in Arky Bread races. Mrs. Bean's had no chance there, but still ran a good race. And we'll be in the same pace wave and very much a horse for course at a price. I guarantee that floats. People see that Arkansas Bread, that price is going up.
Yeah. So this is, we see Life is Hard the same. I like this horse a lot. I'm going to do a straight win bet with this horse. This is a horse actually I really liked when he was supposed to run last time. He got scratched and then kind of came back. And so I'm glad he's coming back because I really like this horse a lot. Also, if you're a big fan of Symmetry, if you notice the first time out in his career, second by a neck. Last time out, which was first off the bench, second by a neck.
I actually thought you were talking about the geometric principle of Symmetry.
No.
For a second. Because I love it, but I think it's because I'm a Gemini.
My mom's a Gemini. She's not good at math, but that's another conversation.
Whoa.
Sir. Now she's self-admitted. She would say she's not, but, so I do like the, three Life is Hard quite a bit. There's a ton of speed. We mentioned speed in the last race. There is a ton of speed in this race. And I just think it is going to be unsustainable. So when I take a look at horses that are going to sit just off of that, like Life is Hard, I like that a lot. I am going to also do a $10 exacta with the 3 over the 6-7. And the 6 is Wheelin' Springs, a horse that we liked a long time ago. It feels like ages ago at Pimlico. Mm-hmm. And finally showed a little bit of that previous form last time out. Maybe John Ortiz, maybe this horse just needed a few races back after a long layoff. Willing to take a shot at a big price. And then I like this 7 Albizu. I liked this horse a lot last time out and just had a little bit of traffic trouble and ended up finishing kind of third by a length and a half, but an honest horse who I think has a really good shot at finishing underneath. So that's how I'm going to play this last race.
I mean, I do think that John Ortiz is maybe waking up a little bit. Also, so is the you know, connections he represents. It seems like Shortleaf Stables with who owns Garhole, who we mentioned in the previous race. They got back on the right side of things because they had not been having a good meet for a couple of years. One of my go-to angles with Arky Bread races was just find the Shortleaf horse and find the one that's messing around with the Lasix, either running without it, running with them for the first time, and always seemed to do me right, and that angle just dried up for me this year. I got impounded, so it would be nice to have something familiar, you know, before the meet is over. But you know, it is what it is. I guess Dio's still winning at a ridiculous clip right now, so that's pretty familiar. Aspison's starting to warm up. I noticed I've been watching his win percentage for the last couple weeks, and it's like it just keeps ticking up by 1% every single week. There's 6 weeks left. He's gonna finish at like 17%.
Yeah, but you and I talked about this offline, which was it feels like he doesn't have a number one jockey right now.
He doesn't have the dude.
Really weird.
He does not have the dude. I agree. He's there was some like I don't know the backstory behind the Ricardo Santana Jr. and Asmussen divorce at Oaklawn. I've heard stories, but it's not like that Ricardo's not riding for him, but he's certainly not getting his best horses. But at this point, I mean, who are his best horses right now?
Right.
Who is he bringing? It seems like he's always bringing in someone different. Always bringing in someone different to ride it. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see play out. I feel like he just needs him and Ricardo need to go on like a couples retreat or something. Maybe something down by like Lake Hamilton or Lake Ouachita. Get massages. Talk it out. You know.
You're always a problem solver, Chase. Got to keep.
Yeah, going. They'll find that the answer was inside of them the entire time. That's my favorite kind of resolution to a movie is that the answer, the magic, et cetera, was inside you this entire time.
It's always there.
Yeah. It turns out this magic juice wasn't magic at all, Matthew. All right. So I'm going to recap my plays real quick. Starting in Race 5, we had a $50 ice cold double with the two Pittsburgh in race 5 and number 1 Best of Greeley in race 6. And then I had a $25 daily double starting race 8 where we singled number 2 Butterbean, parentheses the knockout machine, 9-5. And then we went to two horses in the finale, the 3 Life is Hard, 3-1, and the 4 Mrs. Beans. Maybe the two should hook up.
Maybe.
10-1. All right, Matthew.
Yeah.
He's actually just unfurling a CVS receipt right. of plays.
Yeah,
of plays
it's something
right
else.
Now.
So in race 1, I went $10 to win on the 4. In race 2, I went $10 to show on the 2, but that's potential change to a place or a win bet, depending on how the board plays out. In race number 3, I do a $12 daily double, starting in race 3 with the 5, and then in race 4, I use the 3, 4, 6, 7. In race 5, I use an exacta, $12 exacta key with the 2 up top at, with the 1, 4, 7 underneath. In race 6, I will just do a straight up $10 exacta on the 1, 3. In race 7, I will do a $10 to win bet on the 1. In race 8, I will do a $10 to win on the 5 as well as a, just a $10 win on the 5. And then in the last one, I will do a $10 win on the 3 as well as a $10 3/6/7 exacta. So that's a lot of information.
A lot coming at you right there.
Right.
This might be the time to utilize the changing the playback speeds.
Yeah,
on Spotify,
half speed.
Half speed through that. Actually, if you're gonna half speed thing, I'm gonna sing Al Green's "Love and Happiness" at full speed, so that you can then slow it down and chop it and screw it on your own. Because I was raised in the early aughts, graduated high school in '03, which means I like chopped and screwed music. Suck it, world. All right. And on that positive note to my audience, we are going to call it a day here at the Notorious OTB. That wraps up Bankroll Builder Wednesday. Matthew, tell the people where they can find you.
They can find me on Twitter at the handle @FailedMenace. That's where you can get all my content, whether it's the Win Play Show on Mondays, graded stakes previews, capping the card, etc. I got a lot of different content, obviously, as we heat up on the Derby trail, but Twitter's always the best place to find me, and look forward to engaging with new followers all the time.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. We will catch you later this week. I'm going to have the man I hope doesn't listen to this podcast, Caleb Knight. He's going to be joining me today or later this week. I'm already frazzled. Do you hear it? I'm just so nervous. I'm so nervous to talk to him. All right. Well, I've got a lot of questions to ask myself in the mirror. We'll catch you next time.